going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Coming up, he's the Pacers TV play-by-play man, and that will be 20 minutes from now as the Pacers have punched their ticket to a Game 7 in the NBA Finals that will come your way on Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Athletes in the sports world are driving at incredibly high speeds. And no, this is not another NASCAR segment, as we just had Joey Logano on. You know, maybe I should ask him about Shedeur Sanders. Or maybe I should ask him about Zach Edey. Zach Edey, this was via the Indy Star, he was charged for driving 101 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. I go sometimes 15 miles over the speed limit and I freak out, if I'm just being honest, where I think I'm just going to get nailed by a trooper or someone. 101 in a 55 mile per hour zone. And by the way, we have an intern here, Zach, and our intern, Zach, He kind of became an intern celebrity recently, and he had his like 15 seconds of fame here, and he just got here as an internship for the summer. So he also interns down the hall with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. And Boomer Esiason saw Zach, and he was like, oh, that's a tall son of a bitch, right? Zach is like 6'7", maybe 6'8". So our digital staff here had Zach take a photo with Boomer and Gio. And Boomer Esiason, 6'5", probably 6'5". And they made Zach look as if he was 9 feet tall. So it was a great job by a digital department. Some people got the joke. And then other people were saying, well, Boomer's 6'5". This kid must be 8'2". Actually, can you put Zach on the microphone here just real quickly? What is this? Now I'm going to sound really old. So, Stu, you may have to help me out here. What is that on Twitter? It's the Gork AI. Is that how you say it correctly? Do you have any idea how to pronounce
Grok.
That? Grok?
It's like Gronk without the N.
Oh, it's Grok. What did I say? I thought it was Gork or something.
Yeah, you said Gork.
Yeah, I thought it was Gork, but it's Grok. Did you see the Grok comment underneath the Twitter photo?
Yeah, basically said it's a real photo.
Did you know about this, Zach, at all when they posted this photo?
I didn't know about the Grok comment, but I've seen almost every single comment there.
I gotta find it, and I know I'm going to in the moment, but this Grok comment they had with you, it was something along the lines of accusing you of being like 8'3", and Grok was saying, oh yeah, it's possible. If you're 8'3", you'd be like the tall. I'm cracking up right now. You're 6'7", right?
Yeah, about like 6'6", six, yeah.
You have no clue how tall you are.
Yeah, no, I mean, it kind of, like, I'm used to saying 6'6", because, you know, with shoes on,
yeah.
Like, you know, I'm 6'5", actually, but I always just say 6'6", because when are people not going to see me in shoes?
You're not 6'5", you're taller than 6'5".
I definitely feel it, my knees are hurting like, all hell.
Yeah, oh yeah, you I'm tall, but your knees are really hurting you?
Yeah.
How old are you, 22?
About 20.
20? Yeah. And your knees are already hurting you? This isn't good.
Football and baseball. I was a catcher.
Oh, yeah? So, anyway, the reason I'm laughing, and it's weird that I'm allowed to laugh at someone that's tall, because usually, like my parents when I was growing up, our childhood basement was not tall enough for me. So if I was running out of the house quickly, boom, I hit my head, and I probably got like CTE just trying to go down the steps in the basement. But I'm looking at you right now, and when I'm looking at you, this microphone that's standing in front of you just keeps on falling. And then you have to pick it up and bring it all the way up to your cabeza so you could actually speak. So this does not look comfortable for you right now.
Yeah, holding it up is definitely a slight workout. But yeah, it's fine.
Have you enjoyed the fame? Just wondering, since this has gone viral.
I can, I have.
You have. You've been enjoying it. All righty. So there is Zach, our intern, and I kid you not, when I first saw this photo of Boomer and Gio, I thought Zach Edey, since we're talking about Zach Edey, was in the photo. That's how tall. I think the tallest guy I've ever seen in person was actually Taco Fall. Taco Fall, when he was at UCF, even Zach just said, "That's a tall dude." Now, I kind of, how many Samters would be a Zach?
Oh, no.
We're going to measure you. That's what we're going to do, because you claiming to be 6'5 is offensive, because I'm a legitimate 6'4, and I'm not going to say I feel short next to you, but you are significantly taller than me. How tall do you think he is, Stu? How tall are you, by the way, Stu?
I'm like 5'5", 5'6",
maybe. Do me a favor. Can you guys stand back to back real quickly? So Stu is 5'5", maybe 5'6". Stu, you don't even come up to this kid's shoulders. You don't even come up to his shoulders.
Oh, I'm aware. I'm well aware.
You're like a little ant next to him. And that's you. Imagine what
I know. Samter, forget it. Forget it.
Samter be the size of this kid's pinky, for crying out loud.
How about 100 Samters against one Zach?
One Zach, one intern Zach. I don't know. So Samter's an angry little fella.
Mm.
It's like in the movie Elf.
Oh, yeah.
You call me Elf one more time. And he starts running across the table. I can see Santa. He's an angry little elf. He vent up frustration just going after Zach's kneecaps. I actually think I would take 100 Santers now looking back at it. We used to ask 100 Santers and one Zach Gelb. I think we would take 100 Santers over one intern Zach. But man, you are one tall human being. I never thought I'd be the second tallest Zach here at 345 Hudson Street. I was not expecting there to be someone to walk in here, maybe be taller than me, but to be also named Zach. And one of my favorite pictures ever was myself, Clark Kellogg, and Samter at a Final Four. We could actually, you know the old, you know how people used to do that trend with the AT&T bars with the four people?
Yes, yes.
We should do Samter, Stu, myself, and then Gigantor and intern Zach. I think that would be a good photo that we could do for social media.
We should do it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Giannotti looks like a little kid next to Zach. It's kind of crazy. All righty. This is Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. So this Shador Sanders stuff, how we and Zach Edey both speeding. So Zach Edey was going 101 in a 55. And then also you had Shador Sanders. So we talked about him going 101 in a 60, which is also stupid. He also had another citation. This was 91 and a 65. So a lot of lame radio hosts are sitting here. Are the Browns going to cut Shador Sanders? Now, Shador, slow it down. You know, my aunt Linda, when I was growing up, first 8 years in Massapequa in New York on Long Island, my aunt was two houses down from us, and there used to be a car in the neighborhood. A lot of kids in this neighborhood, young kids. And they'd be driving in the neighborhood in this one car in particular. And it was in a development. So it's a circle. This one car would be Mr. Speedy Gonzalez. Would be like Joey Logano or Denny Hamlin, basically, driving a car. And my aunt would run out of the house and scream, "Slow down, down, you moron! That's what she would yell. I think people just, we don't need to call Shedeur Sanders and Zach Edey a moron, but just slow down a little bit. But no, is I'm not going to have the hot take of the day in Shedeur Sanders should be cut from the Browns. I think that's stupid. Quite frankly, I think Shedeur Sanders is going to start it pretty early for the Cleveland Browns. You look at their schedule, the first six games of the season, it is a mess. Bengals at the Ravens, Packers at the Lions, the Vikings, and then at the Steelers. In that three-game stretch that they have through those first six games that would take you through October 12th, after that they play the Dolphins at the Patriots, a bye week, and then at the Jets. Somewhere in Miami, New England, and the Jets, if no injuries happen in the first six games of the season, because I think either Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett will win the job, I believe it's going to be Joe Flacco. Then I think they're going to trade or cut Kenny Pickett, and then Shedeur, Dylan Gabriel, one will be two, one will be three on the depth chart. I don't buy this nonsense that they're going to keep four quarterbacks. I don't buy it. But on either October 19th, October 26th, or November 9th, Miami, New England, the Jets, whoever is quarterback two on that depth chart, they're going to play. And no offense to Dylan Gabriel, I have no desire to see Dylan Gabriel when Shedeur Sanders is the alternative. I want to see Shedeur play. But Shedeur, maybe you just want to slow down the vehicle a little bit, because we don't need a third side ticket. We don't need you to have your third speeding ticket by the time you're starting games. We just don't need that to happen. So just slow it down a little bit. Last night, I don't want to call it a brawl, but you had a little bench clearing kerfuffle, I think is the word that I'll use right there. I like the word kerfuffle. So it's between the Dodgers and the Padres. Now, Fernando Tatis, I guess anytime he plays the Dodgers, he gets hit. You know, he's been hit a lot recently up against the Dodgers. So you have someone making their major league debut last night, game's 5-0, and Fernando Tatis got hit. And Mike Schilt comes storming out of the dugout, the manager for the Padres, and he wasn't happy. Dave Roberts didn't like that he was storming out of the dugout, so Dave Roberts storms out of the dugout, and then all the benches clear. Now, Stu, did we get the running out of the bullpens? That's my favorite part in one of these bench-clearing brawls.
I believe it was both entire teams, bullpens included.
Because it happened so quickly, and it was right near home plate, where Iowa was only focused on the dugouts, and they kind of went right behind home plate very quickly, and it was the hold me back bro situation. But for some reason, I didn't realize that this was the running out of the bullpen situation. There's nothing more that I enjoy in sports when you have these guys that are relievers and they got the jackets on and they're slowly doing the trot as all their other teammates. They're doing the lineman trot. That's what they're doing as their teammates are trying to get into a fight. But let's listen up. This is Dave Roberts, who makes it clear that he says there was no intent in hitting Fernando Tatis Jr.
Jack Little was making his major league debut. And he's trying to get through the out, and then he hits Tatis with an arm side fastball. Obviously, I think anyone knows there is no intent.
Stu, do you think there was intent there? Do you think that was intentional?
I do, and I do because I think we see Tatis. We always see these players through the years that get hit more than other players. He's their best player, the Padres' best player, their rivals. So I definitely think it could have been on purpose. I think so.
I don't. When I first saw it, and I wasn't watching it live, so I hate when you're not watching something live because you want the immediate reaction. But when I hear about this, I'm like, oh, I got to watch it. Because this guy's making his debut, I didn't think it was intentional. I'm not saying it wasn't, definitely. But I just personally didn't think it was. Dave Roberts then also said he was offended with how Mike Schilt tried to blame him for hitting Fernando Tatis.
And so as he comes out and he's yelling at me, and staring me down, that bothers me. Because, to be quite frank, that's the last thing I want. I'm taking starters out of the game and, you know, trying to, you know, get this game over and get this kid a couple innings. And so that's why I felt, you know, I took that personal, because I understand the game and know that I understand it doesn't feel good to get hit, but understand, again, intent versus clearly no intent.
And then the manager of the Padres, Mike Schilt, calls out the Dodgers and Dave Roberts for throwing at Fernando Tatis Jr.
Teams that I manage don't get into altercations like this because teams I manage don't throw at people. But also teams I manage don't take anything. And after a while, I'm not going to take it. And I'm not going to take it on behalf of Toddy. I'm not going to take it on behalf of our team, intentional or unintentional. It's really that simple. That's how this game's played. And you want to call that old school? Then, yeah, we'll play old school baseball.
I'll tell you, there's only one part where I actually maybe thought this was intentional, even though I didn't think it was. I thought it was unintentional at first. Later on, right, you have Ohtani get thrown at. And when Ohtani gets thrown out, that's when you expect all hell to really break loose. And the fact that Ohtani pointed to the dugout and was like, hey, everyone, calm down. Don't storm out. Maybe Ohtani said, all right, it was intentional to Tatis. I got hit back. Let's just have this be over with and you move on. Maybe that's what was the case. Or Ohtani was just saying, we don't need to clear the benches again. Real quickly, let's go around the room. What's the best rivalry currently in sports now? Because Dodgers and Padres is a pretty good one. Playoff history, NLS rivals, and these two teams, they can't stand each other. It's only going to escalate after that. Stu, what do you think is your favorite rivalry in sports right now?
I think it's Lakers-Celtics, and it's unfortunate that it seems, especially the past like 15 years, these two teams haven't been good at the same time. Like, obviously, the Lakers had a bit of a run in the early 2000s, and the Celtics got good. We got a couple years of Lakers-Celtics, and that's kind of been back and forth, mostly the Celtics being the better team, but I think once Tatum is back, we could see a bit of a resurgence.
Yeah, and both now have new owners with Jeannie Buss on the team for $10 billion. Scarpacci, what's your favorite rivalry?
I know they're not division rivals, but I think I got to go Chiefs-Bills at the moment. They've played each other four times out of the last 5 years in the playoffs. Obviously, Mahomes won all four of those. But in the regular season, Josh Allen's 4-1 against Mahomes. So you have Josh Allen consistently winning in the regular season, and then Mahomes gets the better men in the postseason. It seems they play each other every year, and they're consistently the two best quarterbacks in the game. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm at Ohio State and Michigan, and I've got to go to that game in person. And then you have all the stuff from the Connor Stallions. I know Harbaugh left, but Ryan Day, even though he just won a national championship, still not being able to beat Michigan. The whole craziness with the flag, and then our guy Jason Avant getting the Michigan flag back, being their sideline reporter. I think Ohio State Michigan is the best rivalry in sports right now. Well, you know who could be the best team in the NBA? The Indiana Pacers. And they have a chance to do so coming up game 7. They forced it last night. That's going to be Sunday. Will it be the Thunder or will it be the Pacers taking home the Larry O'Brien Trophy? Chris Denari does a great job calling the Pacers games on TV, and he'll join us when we return in 5 minutes.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. I know many of our listeners on the ticket in Indianapolis are fired up, and they can't believe what happened in a Game 6. And now you got a Game 7 coming up on Sunday night. The Indiana Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The winner gets the Larry O'Brien Trophy. And now joining us is Chris Denari, who does a great job on the Pacers games via TV. And he's kind enough to join us right now once again. Chris, it's really magical what has happened. This team has been doubted the entire postseason, and here we are, one game left in the NBA season, and they got a chance to win a championship on Sunday night.
Yeah, it's a very special time for the franchise, and you just feel it in the city. Everywhere you go, people have a Pacers hat, a shirt, a jersey. Downtown Indianapolis was incredible last night before and after the game. You're right. I mean, this is a franchise that last was in the finals in 2000. Got close to the NBA Finals with Paul George and David West, but couldn't get it done. And now here they are. You're right. One game away from winning that elusive NBA title. It would be very special for this franchise in this city.
You know, I don't want to go too recappy just because there's still a game to be played in a season that will be defined on Sunday night. But we know how ugly it was to start the season. Then they were red hot down the stretch in the postseason. Okay, you beat the Bucks. Everyone said, oh, then they lose to the Cavs. They beat the Cavs, and a lot of people said they lose to the Knicks. Then they beat the Knicks, and then most people said, oh, the Thunder will take care of them in quick fashion. And here we are, Game 7 on Sunday night. When was the moment that you started to realize, okay, this team's not only good, but they're really, really special, and something's just awesome is going on here?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they started 10-15. You know, they had a number of injuries. Nembhard and Nesmith, who have been really good all year long, but especially in the playoffs. When they got healthy, this team got better. And, Zach, they became better defensively. That's when I think a lot of us thought this could be a better Pacers team than we saw a year ago that made it to the Eastern Conference Finals because they're better defensively. And I think that's when they figured out that they could be a better team. If you go back a year ago, they had to outscore teams. They had to score 120 on a nightly basis to win games. That's not the case this year. You saw it last night. They held Oklahoma City to 91 points. So I think after the first of the year, when we started to see this team get healthy and play better defensively, that's when a lot of us thought, maybe they've got a chance to go a little bit farther this year.
Yeah, and I know this is not just a this-year conversation, but you look at a team like this, I think they needed a player not only with championship experience, but not a player that just sits on a bench, a guy that's actually on the court and playing a good amount of minutes. Pascal Siakam, how about the way that just changed the entire trajectory of the franchise? Because I've been saying it all postseason long, he's got to be the most you always talk with the Pacers of the Halliburton overrated stuff. You know, Pascal Siakam's got to be the most underrated player in the league.
Yeah, there have been a lot of times in the last year plus that I'd sort of pinch myself and say, gee, Pascal Siakam is on the Indiana Pacers, because I remember what he did for that Raptors team back in 2019 when he was a young player, and know how well he played. But you're right. Every night, you know what you're going to get from Pascal. He's really improved as a three-point shooter, but his ability to get the basketball and make tough shots. You saw, I think the shot that showed it last night was the shot at the end of the first half. When they got it to him, he went one-on-one, did his patented turnaround fading shot, and gave the Pacers a 22-point lead. You know, the Pacers don't have a lot of people that can just go out and create shots. They're a great ball movement team. That's how they create a lot of their offense on a nightly basis. But when they need something and they need to go to a one-on-one player, it is Pascal Siakam, and he has been just a brilliant player. And if you think about it, Zach, really the three big acquisitions the Pacers have made over the last few years, bringing Rick Carlisle back as the coach would be number one. Making the trade to get Tyrese Haliburton would be number two. And then Pascal Siakam acquiring him and then signing him as a free agent this offseason.
Yeah, and let's get to two more. I was in Philadelphia. TJ McConnell was a fan favorite. He was a gritty player. I didn't think, if I'm just being honest with you, that he one day would be starred in the NBA Finals. And then you have Obi Toppin, right, living in New York now. The Knicks got rid of him for basically nothing. How about the way that both of those players have grown with the Pacers? Because, man, they were both awesome last night.
Yeah, no question. I mean, those two guys come off the bench and really give the Pacers a push. TJ with his energy, Obi with his energy, his ability to fly up and down the floor to dunk. But as you saw last night, hit the three-point shots. And you're right. I mean, TJ played his first 4 years in Philadelphia during the whole process as they were trying to build their franchise. And now already in his sixth year with the Pacers, he's been everything you could ask for, an absolute fan favorite. And so too is Obi Toppin. You said it. They basically got him 2 summers ago for 2 second-round draft picks. He had played very well late in the season for the Knicks when they had some injuries. In fact, I remember the Pacers and the Knicks played twice in the final week of the regular season. The Pacers weren't going to the playoffs, and Obi had 2 30-point games. And so when the Pacers were able to acquire him that summer, that was huge for them. And he and McConnell have been just huge assets off the bench.
Chris Denari here with us, the TV play-by-play voice of the Indiana Pacers, who have a Game 7 coming up on Sunday night. You remember this game. Last year when the Pacers were in a Game 7 up against the Knicks, there was the hamstring injury with OG Anunoby, and he was going to give it a go. And you could tell right away he was ineffective. I thought that was – I know it's a calf strain here. I thought that was going to be the same thing last night with Haliburton. I know he wasn't great, but he exceeded my expectations. How about what you saw from Haliburton last night?
Well, there's no question, and I'm very biased and partisan. I think the Pacers have one of the best athletic training and sports performance teams in the NBA. And so I had a lot of faith that over the last 24, 48 hours, they would work their magic. And you're right. Tyrese wasn't great, but he was pretty good. I mean, he hit 3 threes. He was out there, and I think that meant that Oklahoma City had to pay attention to him. But I think the one thing you have with Andrew Nembhard is you can play Tyrese off the ball. He doesn't have to handle the ball all the time. Give that ball to Andrew Nembhard. He takes a lot of pressure off Tyrese. And so I think the way that they managed his minutes last night, he only had to play 23, did not have to play in the fourth quarter. That hopefully bodes well for Game 7 on Sunday night.
I know how loud it was through the TV. But what was that second quarter like in the building last night?
I have never honestly heard the building louder. When Tyrese threw the no-look pass to Siakam for the dunk, and then at the end of the third quarter when Shepard hit the three to give the Pacers a 30-point lead, and I've been doing this a long time. I've been in the building since it opened in 2000. I have never heard that building louder. It was incredible how loud Gainbridge Fieldhouse was.
I know that you do the games for the Pacers, and obviously no one should be discrediting this team now anymore. I just got to ask you this, and I asked this to Mike Breen, and I think this was when it was 1-1, or maybe it was 2, it was 2-1 in favor of Indiana. There's a lot of people that said, oh, this would be Thunder in 5 or Thunder in 6. Has this NBA Finals exceeded your expectations so far, or what the Pacers doing right now doesn't surprise you one bit?
There's part of it, it doesn't surprise me, because what I saw at the end of the regular season, the 4-point play by Tyrese to beat the Bucks. They had a 9-point comeback in the final minute at home to beat Dallas. And then we know what they did in the playoffs, Game 5 against Milwaukee, the win against Cleveland, the shot that bounced high up off the rim in Game 1 against the Knicks. So In some ways, it does not surprise me. I've been around this group. I know how resilient they are. I was hoping that it could possibly get to a Game 7, because then anything can happen. And now we're in a situation where anything can happen, and the Pacers are right there with a chance to win the title.
What's your biggest concern, right, going into Game 7 when you look at this matchup? But what's still the biggest concern for you when you break down these two teams?
Well, you know that Oklahoma City is going to come back. They're not going to play as poorly as they played in Game 6. And their ability to ramp up the pressure at home, that's where Indiana's had some problems, right? They've had two games where they've had 20 or more turnovers. That's going to be the biggest key, I think, for the Pacers on Sunday night. Taking care of the basketball, managing turnovers, and staying patient. You still want to run. You still want to play fast. But you've got to win the possession game. That will be critical for the Pacers on Sunday night.
So clearly you do these games during the regular season. You know, you get to do the first round, and then the TV guys, they don't get to be on TV calling these games as they happen because they get sent over nationally. I think I read this, that Mark Boyle did a great job calling the Pacers games. He let you do a quarter for what, yes. NBA Finals game three, was that it?
Yeah, I got to do the second quarter of Game 3. I am a longtime radio guy. I was the radio sure. voice of Butler University for 17 years. I did the Indiana Fever radio and TV for 18 years. So I had not done a radio game in 10 years. But it's like riding a bike. Once you get on the bike, it feels good. And that was the 40-point second quarter that the Pacers had. And I was so surprised with how many people either listened to the game or went back. And, you know, I just owe a lot to Mark. He was the one that reached out to me prior to that game and said, you deserve a chance to participate in the NBA Finals. And so it was a great thrill for me to get to do the second quarter of Game 3.
Hey, by the way, give us a little feel since you're there, right? We're talking all about the Pacers, but we've also been talking a ton about Caitlin Clark. How about what she's done for the city?
I'll tell you what, we're living a dream world right now in Pacer sports and entertainment world. I mean, what she's doing, it's packed every night at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. They average 17,000 plus for the Indiana Fever. I was a part of the franchise. In fact, I did a Fever game last year. I filled back in for Pat Boylan, who is now the voice of the Fever. But what we are experiencing between the Pacers and the Fever in downtown Indianapolis, it is a truly special time, no question.
Well, enjoy the game coming up, Game 7 on Sunday night. This is going to be what many people expect, a good one, and it's the first Game 7 we've had in the NBA Finals since that crazy Cavs comeback down 3-1, and they beat the Warriors. So this Pacers ride, it's been enjoyable, it's been fun, and Chris, we appreciate you jumping on board with us today.
All right, thanks, Zach.
There you go, Chris Denari joining us on the show as the Indiana Pacers are off to a Game 7 in the NBA Finals. Marco, obviously, I wanted the Knicks to beat the Pacers. That did not happen. And you will have people like, I don't know, Manny Rodriguez around here, who is one of the producers in the morning, who will take his shots still at the Pacers whenever they lose because he's annoyed that they beat him. And you have all the history with the Pacers and the Knicks, even though Manny basically wasn't a sports fan during any of that because he is a younger guy. So you have all this stuff that's going on where there's still a large contingent of Knicks fans, and I get it, that hate the Pacers, but at this point, I don't get how you just can't respect this team, how they just keep on finding ways to win games, and now each round people keep on saying, all right, they did that, but then they're going to lose the next round. That's midnight's about to hit 12 o'clock. You know, it's about to hit midnight for Cinderella, and now that they're one win away from the NBA Finals, Game 7 win, And obviously your champions lose and your season's over like everyone else has been. It's been remarkable.
Yeah, no, if you don't respect them now, that's on you. That means that you don't, you know, you're just not watching it. You're not paying attention. That's on you.
The idea I forgot how much I enjoy working with you.
No, but I mean, like, that's,
when you just tell it, it's on you.
Well, it is. I mean, look, and I'll say this, and I've been very, very vocal about this. I can't stand this Pacers team.
I admit it.
It comes from a... It comes from a dark place in me, okay? This is the Knicks fan in me that rekindled some of the hatred from 35 years ago, yeah. And it brought it back. I'm not going to deny that. I don't particularly like this team. I don't particularly like Tyrese Haliburton. Respect is a different thing. Mm-hmm. I respect the hell out of them, and I know how good they are. I'm well aware. And then if you're looking at it and go, well, because of this or because of that, no. They are this good. They deserve all of that comes with it. But if you're asking me on a personal level, this has got nothing to do with, you know, watching it professionally. Personal level, I can't stand this group. I can't stand this
team. So you're rooting for OKC?
Oh.
You're standing up in that blue shirt with everyone else and not sitting down and until they score the first basket. You're Mr. OKC, Marco OKC Thunder?
Let me put it this way. I haven't rooted against a team in pure hatred like this in a long, long time.
Really?
In a long, long time. Yeah, I thought
your team
past
wasn't
it.
Playing, is what.
Yeah,
you're saying.
I thought I got past it. No, because that's different. You're rooting for your team to win.
Yeah,
I'm rooting against the Pacers. I don't care who's on the other side.
I'm rooting against this team. So, and again, I thought in my old age, I thought I'd gone past this. I thought I had moved on. I thought I had evolved. I thought I had grown.
Yeah.
I haven't. Not even a little bit. I haven't. This rekindled a lot of hatred for me.
Which actually, it's good that we've had this conversation, because I've always looked at you as like the mature adult in the room and someone that kind of just tells everybody what they need to hear and kind of lays down the law. It's nice to see that you could still be petty and a baby a little bit.
Yeah, no. This rekindled some childhood hatred in me, and I actually kind of like it. It brought back the boy in me.
And I think that this is the perfect time to say this, since we are on the ticket in Indianapolis. I am Zach Gelb, that grumpy grouch who hates the Pacers. He's Marco Belletti. So don't get us twisted.
I'm readily admitting it. I'm telling you. Respect, yes. Good, hell yeah, they're good. Can't stand them.
And the views of Marco Belletti do not reflect the views of the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You want to run, you run. I'll bring it all. Bring the heat here. It's fine with me.
Marco wants all the smoke.
It's fine.
I think you actually were one of the players that voted Tyrese Halliburton overrated, I heard.
If I was a player, I would have at the time. And I would have been wrong, like everybody else.
At least you could admit it. That's good. All righty, we'll come on back and we will update you with some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We'll get to a news brief on the other side. Update time first. Here is El Capitan. And also, the leader of the Indiana Pacers fan club, Marco Belletti.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alrighty, let's start things off on the news brief with Tyrese Halliburton. This is Tyrese Halliburton after the Pacers were able to force a game 7 last night.
What's happened in the past doesn't matter. What happened today doesn't matter. It's all about one game, and approaching that the right way. So everybody's got to take care of their bodies. Good couple film sessions, good preparation, to get ready for that and let the cards fall where they may.
And let's hear Tyrese Halliburton as well. He admits he would have sat if he couldn't contribute. And obviously Tyrese Halliburton played last night. And I think he exceeded most of our expectations. As I said to Chris Denaire, he wasn't great, but he was good enough.
I had to have an honest conversation with the coach that, if I didn't look like myself and, was hurting the team, like, sit me down. Like, that's obviously I want to be on the floor, but I want to win, more than anything. So I just had to have an honest conversation with coach. I want to be on the floor. And if I have the ability to, if I can walk, then I want to be out there.
And this was Rick Carlisle and why he felt really comfortable playing Tyrese Halliburton in game 6, even with the injury.
The big thing was there wasn't a lot of drama. The drama was created, in the press somewhat, because there's a lot of talk about it. That kind of thing. It was not coming from him. He was straightforward. He didn't want a lot of attention. He was doing everything possible to be able to play. And then, fortunately, we were able to keep his minutes reasonable. Because, we had a great first half and a good start to the third quarter.
I don't know. Was there a lot of media drama with Tyrese Halliburton leading into this one?
I mean, I
don't want to slam Carlisle.
I think it's more of like just trolls on Twitter than the media itself.
But what was the media? What do you mean by that exactly?
I mean... Kind of like you were talking about with Marco last segment. It's a bunch of Knicks fans trolling him for 0 points or the game he played the game before, even though he's
gotcha.
Hurt. That's what I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And because I thought the conversation was a fair and honest one.
Sure.
He got the MRI. There's a legitimate injury, and there's a legitimate question on how effective he's going to be. Clearly, he was more effective than what people thought he was going to be, but I don't think it was an unfair conversation. So let's go to Rick Carlisle once again. He's thrilled to reach a game 7.
One game. I mean, this is what it's all about. This is what you dream about growing up, this kind of opportunity. It's a very difficult place to play. We know that. But, this is the opportunity to play in a game like this is a great honor and a great privilege.
And let's go to SGA. Let's get the losing side of this. He was very critical of the game 6 performance.
The way I see it is we suck tonight. We've been learning lessons. And we have one game. For everything we've worked for, and so do they. And the better team Sunday will win.
Hey, Stu, didn't it feel like to you that the Thunder treated last night as if it was a Thursday game in February? Didn't you feel that way?
It did feel like that. It just...
It wasn't a load management night, but it was...
Not giving the 100%.
It was a lackadaisical night.
Yeah.
It's game six of the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I know.
And that's the problem. You touch the stove, all right? Told not to. One time, you may get away with it. Do it a second time, you may not. You get two chances to close this out. I thought they missed an opportunity last night with an effort that was just completely lethargic. Let's go to Jalen Williams. He blames the defense for the loss.
Our defense wasn't very good. And when you're constantly taking the ball out and you're playing against a set defense over and over again, that's part of it. Other part, we didn't do a good job trusting each other to make the next play like we did game five. So we'll look at some things. Obviously, they made a couple adjustments, so we'll look at that too. But a lot of it was, just not trusting each other to make the right plays. And that starts with me being better.
Who wins Sunday?
I still think it's the Thunder.
Scarpacci?
Yeah, I got the Thunder too.
Now I have to be the guy that picks the Pacers, right? So we don't all get trolled. I'm still going the Thunder. And I'm laying the 7.5. Let's go to Zach Lowe. This is on the Bill Simmons podcast. All right, I'll hear this just because it intrigues me. I am against this, full disclosure. But he wants the NBA Finals to go back to the 2-3-2 format instead of the 2-2-1-1-1 format.
2-3-2 needs to come back. 2-3-2 makes the finals. I have a lot of arguments for it. I am pro 2-3-2. I love 2-3-2. And it allows you to have the 2 days of rest fewer times than happens in 2-2-1-1-1. I never have really understood the two big arguments against 2-3-2, neither of which is Hollinger wrote about this 15 years ago. There's the argument that, well, it's unfair to the top seed because the top seed should always have game five at home. And then it's like, well, it's unfair to the lower seed because it's impossible to win three straight games at home. Well, it's, who is it unfair to? The answer is it's not really unfair to anybody, more or less, than the 2-2-1-1-1.
I think he just said a lot of numbers. I don't really told us why he would prefer one or the other. And also, if your biggest argument is, oh, then there's more days off because there's more travel, well, you don't need to have more days off just because you travel a little bit more. You don't need 2-3 days off every time you travel, for crying out loud. Let's go to Connor McDavid. This is Connor McDavid on his future with the Edmonton Oilers.
As you said, it's only been a couple days since the season ended. You know, take some time to regroup, you know, talk to my agent a little bit and family and all that and make some decisions whenever that time comes. But there's no rush on anything like that.
Stu, if you're an Oilers fan, you feel a little uncomfortable hearing that answer, right?
Yeah, you would think he would say, like, I'm an Oiler. Like, it just didn't give you that confidence.
I plan on being here. Yeah. We'll see if myself and the organization can get something that makes it appear that you want to be there.
Very non-committal to anything.
Now, I kind of want to give him a little bit of a pass just because they just lost in the Stanley Cup Final. I know it wasn't right after the game when this was said. It was on the locker room clean out day. But still, you're the captain. You're the best player in the league. I hear that answer, and you know what I think? Two words. He gone. That's what I think right there when I hear that. And I know a wonderful place you could go to. It's New York. Madison Square Garden. The world's most famous arena. Save the Rangers, Connor McDavid. Save the Rangers. We got a goalie. That's the pitch. We don't got Leon Draisaitl. We do got Panarin. We got a goalie, though. Let's go to Will Howard. He was on Chip Tam and Football Podcast. Chip Tam?
Yeah, I had to look three times to make sure I was.
You know my buddy Mark Hockman? He's never had ham before. How do you go through life and never having ham? I'm telling you, some people got some weird food tastes. Or just don't even try things. Will Howard on Getting to Learn from Aaron Rodgers.
If you would have told 9-year-old Will Howard watching me hold up a Super Bowl trophy that I'd be, you know, telling him what you know, a play is in a couple of years, like you'd be crazy. But no, he's been so awesome to me so far. I mean, obviously we only got to be together for about 3 days, but I got a really good feeling about him and about this whole QB room. I think we already in this past week meshed really well, hit it off. I think we got a good vibe, good group. And Aaron's been just so willing to help me. You know, he's like literally as much or as little as you want me to help you, like I'll be there. You know, he's already given me tips, little things here and there. You know, even in the meeting room, on the field, in my drops, different little things. Obviously, you know, I can't do the things that he can do mechanically, so I don't want to replicate that too much because that's pretty unique. You know, but for the most part, I mean, everything that I can learn from that guy is, you know, invaluable.
That was Will Howard on the Chip Tamman Football Podcast. If you're on the Chip Tamman Football Podcast, you can't be too skinny hosts. I don't know who the hosts are. I hope they're kind of fat hosts, if I'm just being honest. And finally, here's Shedeur Sanders on his two traffic violations.
I'm just a little boy.
You didn't do nothing wrong.
He's talking all about overall time. Life. You know, I made some wrong choices personally, and I got to own up to them. I made some, you know, not great choices. I learned.
We're from the real people.
I learned.
That's really how he was that like video cameras following him?
Yeah, I was at some event yesterday.
Oh, okay. I was not expecting that. I intentionally did not listen to that before the start of the show. I thought that was going to be at a podium. I thought that was AI for a second. That was actually him. That's
and there was someone with him too that was talking a lot, yeah. So it was a little hard to understand, but yeah.
I think that's the best way to address that situation. If I'm just being... That wasn't streaming or anything? One of the streaming things that they do? No. Alrighty. I still think Shador's going to start eventually for the Cleveland Browns this year, but slow down the vehicle a little bit. Slow down the vehicle. Peyton Manning's had a few things to say about his nephew, Arch Manning. Arch Manning is the biggest story entering college football this season. So if we take Arch off the table, what are the 10 biggest stories in college football entering this season? Stu's got 5. I got 5. It's the Zach Gelb Show. And guess what? We're back in 5 minutes right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.